discussion, WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The chances of a government shutdown are growing. ABC Stephen Portnoy says it could happen as soon as tomorrow night.
Senate Democrats have signaled they'll block the House-passed bill that extends funding through the end of September. Instead, they propose a one-month stopgap through April 11th. But even if Republicans in the Senate were interested, the House isn't due back from recess until a week from Monday. Without bipartisan agreement in Congress, a Friday night shutdown seems increasingly likely.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio is set to meet later today with Canada's foreign minister, Ukraine, and the trade war likely topics of conversation. In Southern California, evacuations are underway with a threat of flooding and mudslides hitting some of the same areas burned by recent wildfires. The SpaceX mission that was supposed to bring home Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore, the two astronauts stuck on the International Space Station for 9 months, was scrubbed. The problem: hydraulic issues in the rocket. They're going to try again tomorrow. This is ABC News. More protests in New York over the arrest of a Columbia University student. The Trump administration looking to revoke the green card of Mahmoud Khalil and deport him.
Khalil, a former Columbia grad student, was the lead negotiator during demonstrations that took over the campus last spring. He's a green card holder with no criminal record, but his lawyer says federal immigration agents identified, targeted, and detained Khalil simply because he advocated for Palestinians. The Trump administration argues it has the right to deport Khalil, calling him a national security threat.
That's ABC's Aaron Katursky here in New York. Students at Texas Tech getting an early jump on spring break. It was supposed to start Monday, but the campus is closed for the rest of the week after an underground explosion. No one was hurt. Officials think it may have been a gas leak. The Vatican says Pope Francis had a quiet night in the hospital as he recovers from pneumonia. Today marks 4 weeks in the hospital and 12 years since Francis was elected Pope. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anytime at the WISS website at WISS.FM.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Packer players moving on. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL Free Agency. Two Packer players have signed with other teams. Center Josh Myers, a one-year contract with the Jets. Running back A.J. Dillon joins the Eagles, also a one-year deal. Men's college basketball, the Badgers taking on Northwestern today in the Big Ten tournament. Marquette against Xavier in the Big East tourney. In Madison, Sarah Williams says she's entering a transfer portal after 3 years on the Wisconsin women's basketball team. NBA Bucks basketball tonight. They host the LA Lakers. And Shaquille O'Neal had this to say about former Bucks player and business mentor Junior Bridgman, who died on Tuesday.
Yeah, this one really hit hard for me. They always tell us stories about how 75% of athletes 0 to 5 years after they're done playing go broke. A lot of people don't know this, but I've patterned my whole business acumen after Junior Bridgman. This one hurts a lot.
That's Shaquille O'Neal with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Eric Stone Street is expanding his acting talents. The hilarious and Emmy-winning Stone Street, who played Cam on Modern Family for 9 seasons, has agreed to a role on Dexter. Stone Street will play Dexter's estranged brother, who he was separated from at a young age. You can catch Eric Stone Street on Dexter Sunday nights on Showtime. Hate speech and toxic social media users had to take a powder this past Monday when Twitter, also referred to as X, experienced outages, leaving anonymous users and bots with nowhere to spew their disinformation. Angry young men who hide behind avatars and fake screen IDs probably experienced calm for the first time in the last few years. Better a Twitter malfunction than a Cybertruck. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We are tracking a storm system that could bring showers, even a few thunder showers, late tomorrow into tomorrow night. Rain and eventually some rain changing to snow by Sunday. It's going to be windy too. But for now, sunshine today, 58. Tomorrow, we'll get to the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bock.
Coming up on the show, is it illegal for a law firm to represent someone the government doesn't like? Jim Santel from Amicus, a law review, joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matinair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Peach Wabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who always looks ahead, even when parallel parking, Peach Wabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're staying safe out there. What a crazy March day here in Wisconsin, at least in the northeastern part of the state. We got hit with snow and sleet and slush, and it's just really ugly outside. I guess it's happening all over northeast Wisconsin, or all over northern Wisconsin for that matter. Hope you're staying safe wherever you are, and hope that you're staying warm. And to think that daylight savings is only like 3 days away and we're getting weather like this. Crazy. But let's enjoy it. Let's stay inside and stay warm and listen to the radio and talk about the business we call show. And we're going to talk a little wrestling tonight, because let's be honest, that's showbiz too. So I got a really fun show for you guys tonight, on a night where we need the radio. It's cold. It's snowy. Conrad, how are you?
Yeah, it's not that great downtown right now in Green Bay.
Really?
It's disgusting out there. It's gross out there.
I didn't want to get in the car. It was horrible. You can't be driving in this.
Yeah.
So we'll, but we'll cheer people up tonight. This is an escape from 6 to 8. We're going to have some laughs. We're going to have some, we're going to talk a little TV and movies. And as I mentioned, some wrestling, at 6:35, Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is here. He writes about entertainment very well. At the Journal Sentinel, does a great job. And we will talk to Chris about, well, a lot of things. He's got some great articles. He's going to talk about what's coming out this weekend. There's a couple sci-fi films coming out. We'll see how they do. But we'll talk about that with Chris. We're going to talk about a big sport event in Milwaukee that's been going on for 84 years. We'll talk about that with Chris as well, and maybe get his take on the Oscars too. And then at 7:20, our friend Rich, there is some concern over his name. And I'm going to let you go first, Conrad. I know it because I corrected you last night.
Locasio.
Correct, yeah. My friend. Rich will be here tonight. There's some big news in wrestling, and we're going to let Rich break it here on Nightlight tonight. It's going to be fun. You may have already heard it if you're a huge wrestling fan. I'm not a huge wrestling fan, but I know many of you are. So Rich will bring the news to the people at 7:20 tonight. So there you go. Chris Foran, Rich Locasio. It's snowing outside. Pop some popcorn, folks. Gather the family around the old radio, and let's have some fun. Today is Ash Wednesday, Conrad. How did you celebrate?
I didn't do much today besides work. So, but yeah, that's
you're not
how I celebrated.
Catholic anyway, are you?
I am not.
I haven't gotten ashes in a few years. I grew up Catholic, 16 years of Catholic school. 16 years. That is grade school, high school, and college. I went to a Catholic university because I couldn't get enough of it in high school or grade school. But I did get ashes for years. If it was convenient for me, I know that's a pretty lame excuse to my fellow Catholics. I would still get ashes, but I just did not get out to do it today. It is Ash Wednesday, though, folks. So happy Ash Wednesday to all of you who are celebrating. today and getting ashes and giving up something for Lent. Let's be honest. That was the big thing when we were kids. Now, the Catholics typically are not supposed to eat meat on Fridays during Lent. Let me know if you'll honor that, folks. And there's no judgment. I don't think it makes you a good or bad Catholic if you eat meat on Friday. In my opinion, it's a silly rule, but all churches, all religions have their rules, or there are things that we're not supposed to do. I had a friend when I was a kid whose mom started making a chicken on Ash Wednesday. I'm sorry, on one of the Fridays in Lent. Caught herself and threw it out because it was a sin. In my opinion, it's a bigger sin throwing out a chicken. But everybody feels differently. And I'm not here to judge. I truly celebrate all of your beliefs. So tell me your thoughts on Lent if you're Catholic. The phone lines are open, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. But that does lead us, Ash Wednesday, to our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
All right, whether or not you're Catholic, what do you wish you could give up for 40 days? That's the length of Lent for my fellow Catholics. What will you give up? Whether you're Catholic or not, the question is simply, what do you wish you could give up for 40 days? Thoughts, Conrad?
I think, I mean, I could definitely do without meat for one for Friday, because I love fish, so I could definitely eat fish on Fridays.
But you're supposed to kind of sacrifice, you know? It's supposed to be kind of a challenge, like when you're at soda.
Okay.
I have a friend who gives up booze every year. With you, it might be like, you know, watching sports highlights, something, you know?
I couldn't do that. I think it would be just giving up the sweet tooth that I have.
Sweets? Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I've already given up booze. I kind of don't really do carbs. I'm kind of running out of things to give up. Maybe I'll do what Bart Simpson suggested and take up smoking and then give that up. Homer would compliment me and say, good for you, son. Smoking is one of the hardest things you'll ever have to quit. I think I'm going to say, I don't want to pass the buck here because I do want to give an answer. So I think what I'm going to say is I am not going, you know what I'd love to give up? And I don't know if I'm going to commit to this yet. Instagram.
Okay.
I'm not even active on Instagram, but the reels they have are so addicting. You just sit there and scroll. Do you not have that problem?
Not on Instagram. I go on TikTok.
TikTok's the same thing.
Yeah,
you just keep scrolling and scrolling, and before you know it, it's an hour of your life, and you're looking. And the worst part is when you're scrolling and you come to the same video you started this whole excursion with. But that's not good enough. I need to give up something better than that. So I think what I will try to do is to be nice to everybody I come in contact with.
Oh, that's going to be hard.
It is hard, and there are people that, honestly, it is hard. Listen, there are times I avoid people, and I don't want to do that. I want to try to bring some joy to people's days. I want to smile, make them laugh, talk. If they're my neighbors, I like to do that. I don't know if they always want to talk to me, but maybe that's what I'll do for Lent. Or I could try to go to church every Sunday. I don't know. I haven't done that in a while. But what do you think, folks? Would love to hear from you. What do you wish you could give up for 40 days? If you're Catholic, you can call it Lent, but otherwise the question is kind of standalone. What would you give up for 40 days? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You could try to give up the old SEX like Josh Hartnett did in 40 days, or 40 nights was it called? He tried to give up sex. I couldn't even, it was such a bad comedy. It was like in the early 2000s. I think I started it. And I couldn't even do it. I couldn't even get through it. Great to have you with me tonight. It is Ash Wednesday. It is also, I don't know if you saw this, Con, it's Cheese Doodle Day. National Cheese Doodle Day.
Yeah.
You might laugh, but about 20 years ago, when I was still a better practicing Catholic, I couldn't get ashes. So I grabbed some cheese doodles, crushed them up, and use the cheese doodle dust to give myself ashes.
There you go.
When in a pinch. It's just nice that they share this day. National Cheese Doodle Day, Ash Wednesday, National Multiple Personality Day. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Shut up. No.
That's National
Multiple Personality Day.
The Mask. There we go. That's a movie that we could talk with Multiple Personality Day. Wait. Jim Carrey.
Was that the mask? Oh, he put on the mask and he became someone different, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But did he have multiple personalities?
Yeah, because he was a totally different person when he was in the mask. When he wasn't, he was kind of timid.
Yeah, okay. Was that a good movie? Honestly, I saw it once years ago, and I don't know. I mean, maybe it's great. It never stuck with me, you know?
I love Jim Carrey movies, so yeah. It's still a really funny movie, but yeah, I don't think it got good reviews.
I'm sure he's funny in it.
Yes.
So that's our question tonight, folks. What would you give up for 40 days? 855-752-4842, or you can text us on the app. Super easy to use. Conrad, how can people watch the radio tonight?
Yeah, so if you go on Facebook, we're under WGBW, WISS, or Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. If you go on YouTube, Civic Media or WGBW. And on Twitter, it is Civic Media or WGBW.
Very easy to do. Kind of a cool thing happened. A few months ago, we had Mike Cheslick on the show. He's a director, made a film called Hundreds of Beavers. If you have not seen Hundreds of Beavers, do everything in your power to check it out, folks. It's a black and white silent film about a fur trader who is tormented by hundreds of beavers. And the guys that made it are from Wisconsin. It just passed the $1 million mark at the box office. For a film that costs like between $100,000 and $200,000 to make, which still sounds like a lot of money, but that's hard to make back. And these guys did it. Mike was the director, and I think co-wrote it with Rylan Brixen Hughes, his writing partner. I'll have to look that up. I'm going to make sure I got Rylan's name right. Rylan could not be on the show when Mike was on, but Mike was a great guest. We should try to book him back and see if we can find out what it's like having $1 million box office hit. That's pretty cool. Years ago, you know, if you made your money back, broke even, whatever. But this is going into, well, not Blair Witch category, but for a little comedy like this, that's a silent film, to do what this film was doing, it's really incredible. So if you have not seen Hundreds of Beavers, it is well worth a watch. It's like an hour and 20 minutes. Really fun. Moves fast. And you won't be disappointed. If you are disappointed, Conrad will give you your money back. It's that simple.
I don't know about that.
Come on, you got the money. Rylan Brixen Hughes is the lead actor. He plays Jean Kayak, portrayer. And Rylan is very good at physical comedy. And Mike Cheslick is the director. We'll see if we can get those guys back on. And I think they co-wrote it, if I'm not mistaken. So we've got a lot to talk about, folks. How can you not on National Cheese Doodle Day? We'll come back. I'll read your texts. We'll talk about Alec Baldwin. There's Baldwin news and a new show I'm watching. You won't want to miss that. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
Ready. While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Top craft pick creators include Fifth Ward Brewing Company in Oshkosh, New Denmark Brewing, Duck Creek Distillery and Winery in Denmark, and Captain's Walk Winery in Green Bay. Vote for your favorite now by logging on WISS.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. When you vote, you'll enter a random drawing to win $250 in gift cards from participating craft creators. Don't wait. Voting ends Friday, April 18th. Log on WISS.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick and vote right now. Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. Drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Many of the supporters of Trump voted on good faith and said, look, he says some crazy things, but you know what? He at least is telling me he's going to help my family and bring down the price on my heating bill. And that ain't what they're getting. What they're getting back is a political middle finger. And we're staring a recession straight in the face. And Donald Trump does not care. Because at the end of the day, this was one big grift.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local civic media radio station and on the app.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Alba Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Back. Great to have you with me on this snowy Wednesday night, depending on what part of the state you're in. I know other parts did not get hit as well as we did, but be careful out there, folks. It is treacherous. Just stay warm and stay safe. Turning to the text line, our question tonight is, what do you wish you could give up for 40 days? We're talking about Lent a little bit. It's Ash Wednesday, but I know we all, it's kind of like a mini New Year's resolution. So what do you want to give up, or what do you wish you could give up for 40 days? I've already said I'm not really doing booze anymore. Not really doing carbs. I'm running out of things to give up. So I think what I'll do is just try to be nice to people. That sounds lame, I know, but it takes effort. You know, you have to go out of your way to brighten someone's day. Right, Conrad?
Yeah, I got a recommendation. Just give up movies.
Yeah. I could do that. As long as I could watch TV.
Okay.
No, I couldn't do that, obviously. If I didn't have the show, that would be a challenge. That would be an interesting thing for me to sacrifice because I do love movies. But let me just say, you look very handsome tonight. You got a nice hoodie on and a hat. There we go. I just started my whole 40 days. And all you listeners, you look great. Eric from Lodi says, I suppose I could give up not observing Lent. Eric, you going to become Catholic? That would be a big commitment. Eric from Lodi in the 608 says, I suppose I could give up not observing Lent. He also says, seriously, I should probably give up nachos for 40 days. Now, do you mean the chips, Eric, or like nachos with all the works on them? Because honestly, I think chips, and let's go to the next text because Paula Conrad's mom is checking in from the 920. She says, I agree with Conrad on giving up the sweets, but also need to include chips. I'll tell you what, Paula, if I could, I would just give up chips forever. They don't have any nutritional value or very little. They're so addicting. So kind of a theme there. Eric and Paula, both on the give up the chips bandwagon. But sweets are too tough. You're never going to give up sweets. Check back in, Paula. If you're able to do that, I would love to know about it. You too, Con. I don't see it happening.
Okay.
But good luck. Steve in the 920. Says, during the 40 days of Lent, I wish I could give up work, but unfortunately, my boss doesn't agree. How rude. Can you believe that, Pete? I can, Stephen. You know what? All you have to do is become Catholic, and all of a sudden, your boss can't mess with you because of your religious beliefs. Tell him I said so. See where that gets you, Steve. Let's see what happens. All right, so keep those texts coming. What do you wish you could give up for 40 days? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I am watching a new show that I like. It's called Zero Day. It's on Netflix. A lot of people are watching it. I know it's a very popular show right now. Robert De Niro is one of the main actors. Jesse, what the heck is his name? Fergus? No, I got to find this out. Jesse, he's a great actor. I'm totally blanking on his name. But it's a really good show. The grid goes out and there are train crashes. There are traffic lights that don't work. People get in accidents. And the president, I think the president gets a text that says this will happen again. The United States is basically being threatened. Jesse Plemons. I couldn't think of his last name. And Joan Allen is in it too. Matthew Modine. Angela Bassett plays the president. Very good. It is a very good show. So far, I'm two episodes in, and I definitely want to keep watching. And that's the only barometer I think you can really use. You want to keep watching it. So I'm going to stick with it. I'll probably bang out a couple episodes tonight after I get my work done, and I will keep you guys posted on that. But so far, so good. Check out Zero Day. Robert De Niro plays an ex-president who was a one-termer. He decided not to run again. Sound familiar? There's some Biden stuff there. The new president, played by Angela Bassett, is, I'm still trying to get a beat on her, but she's good. She's a very good actor. And Jesse Plemons, I like everything, almost everything he is in. He did a season of Fargo several years ago, and he was so good with his wife, Kirsten Dunst. And they were both very good in it, but he's a really solid actor. And he plays the assistant to Robert De Niro, who is living his life post-presidency. But he gets drawn back in to help lead this investigation into who is behind these cyber terror attacks. Check it out if you're looking for something to watch. I recommend it. I saw this too. You heard about what Alec Baldwin did like a couple years ago.
Yes.
Right? I mean, it's like 3 or 4 years now, but I can't even imagine doing something like that, like accidentally killing someone. Even though it's not your fault. I think the armorist was the one who took most of the blame for that. Probably rightfully so. The gun probably shouldn't have been loaded. Alec Baldwin probably should have checked the double check. Maybe he did. I don't know. I cannot imagine living with something like that. You ever accidentally killed someone, Conrad?
No.
Ever do it on purpose?
I can't say that either.
Okay. Good for you. Keep on the straight and narrow, young man. His wife, Valeria, said that he has had heart trouble since the accident. He is riddled with guilt, has had hospital stays. And she said all this on their TLC show called The Baldwins. And I think the only thing that could make his condition worse is if he had to actually watch his own show. I'm just guessing. It's got to be horrible. The Sound of Music turns 60 this week. You ever seen that, Conrad?
Honestly, I think I have. I just don't remember it.
Okay. I mean, you know, it's a fun movie. It's one of the highest grossing films of all time. Julie Andrews. Very lovely. I've seen it once. But Christopher Plummer, apparently, who played George Von Trapp, hated it. all through filming, he's calling it boring and trite. Said the story was gooey. And at one point referred to the title as The Sound of Mucus. So I don't know what to make. Like, I feel like, you know, if you're in the acting game and you're fortunate enough to be in huge movies, it's easy for me to say this, but shut your trap.
Yeah.
Do the role. No pun intended. Shut your Von Trapp and do the role and be happy. All right. Chris Warren will be here after the news. Civic Media's news team is chomping at the bit to keep you informed, folks, and tell you what you need to know. They do such a great job of it here at Civic Media. We're coming right back with Chris Foran, and Rich Locascio joins at 7:20 to talk wrestling. Get your sniglet on. Sniglet? Singlet. What's it called?
Snugget? Snugget?
Sure, snuggles. We'll go with that. The wrestling term. They do a lot of snuggling. Fun night here on Nightlight. Great to have you with me. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network. Someone's living for me. And I love her.
a new choice. The Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The chances of a government shutdown are growing. ABC's Stephen Portnoy says it could happen as soon as tomorrow night.
Senate Democrats have signaled they'll block the House-passed bill that extends funding through the end of September. Instead, they propose a one-month stopgap through April 11th. But even if Republicans in the Senate were interested, the House isn't due back from recess until a week from Monday. Without bipartisan agreement in Congress, a Friday night shutdown seems increasingly likely.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio is set to meet later today with Canada's foreign minister, Ukraine, and the trade war likely topics of conversation. In Southern California, evacuations are underway with a threat of flooding and mudslides hitting some of the same areas burned by recent wildfires. The SpaceX mission that was supposed to bring home Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore, the two astronauts stuck on the International Space Station for 9 months, was scrubbed. The problem? Hydraulic issues in the rocket. They're going to try again tomorrow. This is ABC News.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A Wisconsin judge has affirmed that Canadian oil giant Enbridge.
Packer players moving on. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL free agency. Two Packer players have signed with other teams. Center Josh Myers, a one-year contract with the Jets. Running back A.J. Dillon joins the Eagles, also a one-year deal. Men's college basketball, the Badgers taking on Northwestern today in the Big Ten tournament. Marquette against Xavier in the Big East tourney. In Madison, Sarah Williams says she's entering a transfer portal after 3 years on the Wisconsin women's basketball team. NBA Bucks basketball tonight. They host the LA Lakers. And Shaquille O'Neal had this to say about former Bucks player and business mentor Junior Bridgman, who died on Tuesday.
Yeah, this one really hit hard for me. They always tell us stories about how 75% of athletes 0 to 5 years after they're done playing go broke. You know, a lot of people don't know this, but I've patterned my whole business acumen after Junior Bridgman. This one hurts a lot.
That's Shaquille O'Neal with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Hi, Chef Grunder. Let's dive right into the machine shed. Fridays here mean all you care to have fried or broiled North Atlantic cod, or try our bone-in seasoned catfish lightly fried.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Dolly Parton told Oprah Winfrey that she thought she would be a great mother. Parton elaborated, saying she and her recently deceased husband, Carl Thomas Dean, ultimately decided not to have kids because Parton wanted the freedom to pursue her career and be a mother to all children. That is so Dolly Parton. Parton said at one point they even had a name picked out if they had a girl, but decided against it. I'm guessing it was Dolly Jr.? Billy Joel is putting his health before his tour. The 75-year-old music icon has wisely chosen to postpone working the road so he can rehab after a recent medical procedure. Joel's camp says he will take 4 months away from performing to get his health back. Joel expects to make a full recovery and will resume his tour in Pittsburgh on July 5th of this year. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We are tracking a storm system that could bring showers, even a few thunder showers, late tomorrow into tomorrow night. Rain and eventually some rain changing to snow by Sunday. It's going to be windy too. But for now, sunshine today, 58. Tomorrow, we'll get to the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll discuss the Supreme Court debate and also a blood moon rising. We'll give you the details. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night, a snowy night, at least here in Northeast Wisconsin and Northern Wisconsin. But we'll get through it, folks. We'll talk about some show business, read some texts. Let us know what you would give up for 40 days or what you wish you could give up for 40 days. Text me here at 855-752-4842. Let me know what you really wish you could give up. I might change my answer, Conrad, to being nice to people. To giving up chips. How superficial is that?
I think that's a good one.
I could be nice to people, or I could have better abs. That is so this time in history. Joining me now, folks, is one of our favorites. He joins us quite a bit here on Nightlight, and we have a great fun talking about show business. He writes about entertainment for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and his name, you know him as Chris Foran. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing okay, Pete. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you, sir. Great to have you. How are things in beautiful Milwaukee tonight?
We dodged almost all of the snow.
It's unbelievable.
It stuck to some of the grass, and we had a lot of rain. It's now kind of windy, so we will take that. I lived long enough to remember big snowstorms this time of year. I'm happy to not have one.
I know my son is there and said, no, we're not getting it. But you know what? I think the last couple times you guys got hit, and somehow up north we missed it. Every once in a while that happens. But
it looks like the tide has turned, yeah. The Milwaukee meteorologists refer to it as the Milwaukee donut, where the snow goes around us but doesn't get to us. So,
oh, you guys will get your just desserts if I have anything to say about it.
Well, we are pro-donuts, so that works out well.
Milwaukee loves their donuts. Well, great to have you on the show. Hey, I was going to, we talked about some of the things we talked about, but I saw this on IMDb Pro earlier, Hundreds of Beavers.
Yes.
The great little indie film shot in Wisconsin by guys who were originally from Milwaukee, Mike Cheslick and Ryland Tews, just passed $1 million in theaters. How do you like that?
I think it's great. I feel like it's a story that I have not spent enough time on with the paper, but it's a movie that's sort of ground up, and it's a great example of a movie that people find and embrace. Yeah. And it is goofy, and it's intentionally goofy, and there's something to be said for that. And everybody made a big deal out of Barbenheimer last year, but this is that same kind of thing. People find it and they connect to it and they come back out to see it again, and that's honestly what probably the movies need more of.
You know, it's interesting. I'm probably doing this strictly off a hunch or whatever, but I feel like people in the indie film world or in the entertainment, Wisconsin entertainment circles know about it. But I feel like the general public in Wisconsin will still find it. Not that some of them haven't, but I feel like it could do even better, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it would be interesting to see them. Well, I'm not sure it would work. Like, see people show it like at free at out at like, you know, those outdoor movie series that communities have and things like that. And some way to get it into the general public. I mean, it's on Amazon Prime or Prime Video, so it's not unfindable. Okay. That's how I watched it. I had actually missed it and then caught up with Lake Michigan Monster, and you know, so I'm slowly catching up. We have a ton of people making movies in Milwaukee or in Wisconsin that are actually getting streaming for distribution. We just don't always know what they are.
Yeah, I loved Lake Michigan Monster too. I think that's the one. It starts off where he's in the water and then he stands up. You think he's scuba diving and he stands up and he's like in 12 inches of water or something like that, close to the shore. But it's just again, the same type of not a silent comedy. There is a dialogue in that, but a really fun film too, if you can catch up with both of them. So I read your column, I think it came out today, about what's coming out this weekend. Mm-hmm. This is a big weekend for Bong Joon-ho. Has his new film Mickey 17 coming out.
Yeah.
What are you here? It's getting great reviews, but I've read a couple that weren't so great. Have you heard anything?
I've heard the same thing you've heard. I haven't seen it. We stopped reviewing movies at the paper a while back, so I rarely go see things in advance because it's like graft for me. But I would guess that the negative reviews, because I'm trying not to read too many of them. I'd read just enough so I can tell people what it's about, and then I go see it. Yeah. my sense of it is that people expect it to be like Parasite. And that means they haven't seen The Host or even Snowpiercer. I mean, Snowpiercer, people might know the TV show. Movie's a little different. And The Host is a monster movie that is pretty funny, but has a very social edge to it.
Go ahead.
No, we'll see. I mean, it doesn't look like they're expecting it to be a huge box office hit, which I think is smart. I think it's the kind of thing where people will respond to it or they won't. And, we'll see. It's got Kenosha's own Mark Ruffalo in it, so it's already a bonus.
That's kind of cool. Yeah. I've never seen Snowpiercer or The Host. But I would think if you saw Parasite, and based on what I've seen from Mickey 17, at least on some of the reviewer sites, they don't look at all similar.
No. And I think Mickey 17 is a little bit structurally wackier. I mean, that Parasite has humor in the front end that you forget when you see the second half of the movie, because it's so raw. But The Host, The Host is about a monster that is generated from toxic waste that's dumped in this big river in Korea, and people trying to get away from it. It's like a sea monster movie, but there's lots of humor in it. And Snowpiercer is about a post-apocalyptic civilization where, as far as we know, all of humanity is living on this bullet train that's traveling around the world, and the poor people live in the back, and the rich people live in the front, and the poor people try to strike back. Chris Evans is in it, of all people. And the TV series had David Diggs, who's very good in the TV series, but they're a little bit different movies. And he's done the gamut. He's got a noir thriller, Memories of Murder. He's done different things. I think he's a really smart guy. Lots of social commentary in all of his movies, so that's the kind of the common thread. But The Host, I think I had to check it, but I think The Host is streaming. It's worth checking out. I would bet this is in more in that wheelhouse. And Pattinson can be very funny. It's clear from the trailer that both Ruffalo, that all the characters are pretty, over the top. So you never know how that's going. People can respond to that. I mean, that was that whole thing with Poor Things a couple years ago. Some people responded to it, some people just did not. So
I thought it was great. I thought, I've seen him in interviews too, like on talk shows. Bong Joon-ho, he's a funny guy. He's got a good sense of humor.
He's a very funny guy.
Yeah, very talented. What about Rule Breakers? That looks really interesting, but I couldn't tell. At first I read it sounded like kind of read like a documentary, but then I saw it was in wide release, so I looked at it. Well,
it's another one of these inspired by a true story movies about it's about a group of young Afghan women who were recruited to join like a robotics team in Afghanistan at a time when under the Taliban, it's probably now when young women are not only not allowed to use computers, but they're not allowed to go to school. And it's based they say inspired by a true story. It's distributed by the Angel Studios, which does a lot of these inspirational movies. Some of them are more overtly Christian than others. They did that Sound of Freedom movie that was a big hit a couple years ago. And they've done the movie about Cabrini, about the Italian nun who helps the poor in New York. And so I have no idea what to make of it. I've seen the trailer. It looks like a lot of these kinds of very inspirational sort of movie, but
The other big one opening this weekend in the Lost Lands, at least opening wide, David Bautista and Mila Jovovich. Not reviewing particularly well. Have you heard anything about that?
No, and we probably won't. The guy who made it, Paul W.S. Anderson, is the guy who made all the Resident Evil movies.
Yeah.
With Mila Jovovich who's in it. It's one of those movies that sounds like it was kind of created on the front. I haven't seen it, but sort of, hey, we have a George R. R. Martin short story. Let's put this guy who makes post-apocalyptic movies on it and then throw, Dave Bautista in there and see what happens. And,
right.
I think, sometimes we feel like we're in a post-apocalyptic landscape already. So, why not?
They're all over the place. Even De Niro, we talked about Zero Day, which I'll save for later, but everywhere is post-apocalyptic stuff. Hey, I want to ask you, I saw this is great. You wrote about this too, Chris, an event coming up in Milwaukee. The sport, what was it called? I've lost it here now. I can't find it. I'm sorry. It's a sporting event that has been going on for 84 years. It's at the fairgrounds.
You're talking about the sports show, the journal
sports show. Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, it's I mean, it used to be a much bigger thing. It would run for a couple of weeks, and back when in the golden age of that sort of thing, and you know, hunting, fishing. They have a big trout pond there. They have lumberjack competitions where they're doing log rolling and stuff like that. A lot of fishing tutorials, lots of outdoor stuff. Okay. Usually hold in it, historically it's advised with the auto show for the worst weekend weatherwise of the year usually, but historically people used to come out for it, and they used to have, and I've written stories about this, but they used to have a lot more animals at it, but they got a little demonized. We have some pictures in our archives of, you know, a couple of like 10-year-old boys hanging out with a couple of bear cubs, which seems like a really bad idea. But it is very much, for people who go, it's very much a tradition. It's one of those things that has, you know, that kind of seasonal marker for people in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I was just surprised because I was reading this. I had never heard of it. I don't live in Milwaukee, and I never have, but 84 years, that's impressive. So that's,
yeah, it goes back to the World War II, so yeah.
My guest is Chris Foran. He writes for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, covers entertainment, and we have him on the show quite a bit to talk about all things, not just entertainment, but all things fun. Chris, what is the Shamrock Shuffle? That was in your column recently too.
There's a local group called outfit called Swarm that organizes these. They're sort of like organized bar crawls, and you buy a ticket, and you go into a certain neighborhood, a nightlife neighborhood. I think this year they're in Walker's Point and Water Street in Milwaukee, and then you get discounts on stuff, and you know there might be a deal here or there. And when I wrote that, they hadn't sold out. I wouldn't be surprised if they've sold out by now. They're usually very popular here. So
I think it's hilarious. I'm not saying they don't exist outside of Wisconsin, but I feel like a bar crawl is like a sport here in our state.
It's a competitive sport. Yeah. When I was in college, I worked with a guy who did a one person bar crawl. He lived at UWM and he worked at Marquette, and he had a drink at every bar between work and home. I don't know if he ever survived it.
Honestly. He might have a problem. I don't know if that would be.
I think he didn't have a problem. He perfected it. So, but
he just got really good at it. Okay. So we have a kind of a fun thing, Chris. I want to do this with you, and you're a good sport. You said that you would be willing to take an Oscars quiz. Just kind of we'll put a little button on the Oscars. We'll give Chris kind of a fun little quiz about some of the things that happened. It's not going to stump you or anything. But before we get to that, I would love to talk a little bit about TV. You said you're watching Zero Day. How are you liking Zero Day so far?
I've actually watched the whole thing. I didn't love it.
Okay.
I am a big, I am a big 70s conspiracy movie fan. Parallax View, 3 Days of the Condor. I love that story. One of my favorite of the Marvel movies is the Captain America, the Winter Soldier, because it feels exactly like that. You know, wait a minute, somebody in charge is involved in this.
Right.
And the twists are okay. They're a little, I was surprised by the number of them that weren't clean, you know, tied up. I'm very old school about that kind of thing.
Right.
The performances are fine. I mean, Lizzie Kaplan plays De Niro's daughter. She's a congressman. He's a former president, and they don't agree on anything. And everybody has so many secrets, you know.
Right.
It's kind of depressing. Striking, and you know, it's like, you know, one of the recurring themes in the movie is that they can't get anything done in government. Like they haven't passed a bill in 18 months. And it's like, I know why they can't pass the bill, because they've all got all these secrets they're trying to keep secret, you know. So
it's just a whole big cover up. Well, now I'm not as excited to keep going, but I will going with it.
I will watch anything that's six episodes. I can sit through that.
Yeah, no kidding. Chris Foran is here. We'll have more with Chris after a very short break here on Nightlight with Pishwaba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thank you.
98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Nevada Senate Bill 406 made it a felony to harass or intimidate election workers. In a federal appeals court March 7th, four right-wing activists claimed that the law is too vague and could allow them to be unfairly intimidated against participating in the election process. SB 406, signed by Republican Governor Joe Lombardo in May 2023, was unanimously passed in both houses of the legislature after threats to Nevada election workers following the 2020 and 2022 elections. Under the new law, individuals who intend to interfere with the conduct of an election or retaliate against election officials could face up to 4 years in prison. It also protects election workers from doxing, disseminating their personal information. The Reno Gazette Journal reports that the plaintiffs used a 2020 social media post by Attorney General Aaron Ford to demonstrate that the law was too vague and itself could be viewed as intimidation. Ford's post read in part, "FYI, voter intimidation is illegal in Nevada. Believe me when I say it, you do it and you will be prosecuted," unquote. The case, dismissed in federal circuit court for lack of evidence, is backed by wealthy election denier and plaintiff Robert Beatles. Depending on the Ninth Circuit's decision, it could be challenged further in the U.S. Supreme Court. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Wherever you are in Wisconsin, there's a free and confidential Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC, or Tribal Partner Agency. We're here for older adults, adults with disabilities, and your families. ADRCs are a bridge to support for benefits and financial assistance, transportation, in-home care, and more. Get to know your local ADRC and connect with resources today. Call toll-free 1-844-WIS-ADRC or go to findmyadrc.org. Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, this is Adam Brody, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Gonna be some sweet sounds coming down.
I got a text on the stream from someone named Scratch Dumont. Even if that's an alias, it's awesome. He says, your show is great. I am no longer Catholic, but I do give up something for Lent every year. Each year I give up clean language, and I must say that by Holy Saturday, I'm feeling really cleansed. I would imagine a guy named Scratch Dumont has some serious skeletons in the closet, and language would probably be the worst of your concerns, but that's awesome. Thank you for the text, Scratch. That's our question tonight. What do you wish you could give up for 40 days in honor of Ash Wednesday? Let us know. We've got some more text to get to. We'll do that shortly. Right now, we are talking with our friend Chris Foran, who writes for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, covers entertainment for the paper, and does absolutely fine work. Always fun having Chris on the show. Chris, as you mentioned earlier, or as I mentioned to you, I put together a little Oscars quiz that I thought we could have some fun with. The answers are not that difficult. You're a pretty informed guy. I'm not trying to embarrass you here. I'm not going to bring up your childhood or anything personal, but I just thought maybe, obviously, that's a good thing now based on your reaction, but these are just questions I put together. So if you're game, let's do it.
Go for it.
All right, Conrad, you get the bell ready?
Oh boy, a bell.
There's a bell, Chris. We have all the high-tech stuff here.
I'm impressed.
Conrad stole that from a Days Inn check-in counter, so we have that ready to go. All right, Chris Foran taking the Oscar wrap-up quiz. What Oscar winner almost broke the record for longest acceptance speech?
Almost broke the winner?
Almost broke the record.
I thought Adrian Brody broke the record.
He apparently, I'm told, he missed it by 1 second.
Is the correct answer then that that would be the correct answer? But they say that Greer Garson had the longest one.
Oh, is who is it?
Greer Garson, is that supposed to be the longest one?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't know who had it. I just know, or I was told that Adrian Brody came with.
There's a legend that when Greer Garson won it for Mrs. Miniver, she spoke forever. It became a standard joke on the Oscars forever and 1943. But there's no recording of it.
Oh, come on.
Nobody knows how long it actually went.
I wonder, do you think it meandered like Adrian Brody's did? I guess we'll never know.
What I've read about it is that you just kept talking. And in those days, it was kind of a dinner. It wasn't, you know, a big thing like it is now. I mean, it wasn't that way on television. I mean, they used to do it. In fact, during World War II, they even toned it down a little because they didn't want to seem too showy.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to give you that one. You got it right, obviously. The question was not, thank you for holding off Conrad until you got confirmation. We consider ourselves journalists here too, Chris, believe it or not. Okay. What comedian actor surprised everyone by showing up wearing a hoodie?
That'd be your Adam Sandler.
Conrad knows that one. Conrad knows all things Adam Sandler. He is he's as much into Adam Sandler as he was the Hawktua girl, but Adam Sandler never tried a pyramid scheme, so he still follows Adam Sandler.
Probably
for the best, exactly. What two Best Picture nominees, despite multiple nominations, went home empty-handed?
Which two? Well, Complete Unknown was 0 for 8, I believe. And,
correct.
The other one, Nickel Boys?
Very well done, Mr. Foreign. Outstanding.
I actually thought there was one more, but I couldn't remember. That one of those it is interesting how even though there was one with was a big winner, Anora, they did kind of share the love. So it's probably the love around.
So. Yeah, I would say so too. I didn't know that actually when I was looking up questions for this quiz. I knew that A Complete Unknown had been shut out. I did not realize Nickel Boys had been shut out too. So I believe there are only two. But all right, we will keep going. Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel joins us. He is 3 for 3 on tonight's Oscars quiz. He is crushing it, ladies and gentlemen. Number 4, what director was the first person to win 4 Oscars from the same movie?
I believe that would be Sean Baker.
Correct. I figured you would get that after what we just said. But what I didn't know, Chris, this was interesting. I was surprised. I didn't know that hadn't been done before. 4 Oscars from the same film. Very impressive. But apparently, he tied Walt Disney for the most Oscars in one night. That's incredible.
Which is sort of deceptive because that comes from a time when the head of the studio would get the... Walt Disney put his name on everything. So
okay.
It's so kind of deceptive.
What I'm hearing is Sean Baker deserved them a little more.
Yeah.
Than Walt Disney. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. This is an easy one for you, Chris. I'm throwing you a softball here.
That means I'll miss it.
Yeah, this will be the one you don't get. What actor showed up wearing a ridiculous yellow suit?
I heard you the other night. I know you feel ridiculous about it. You'd be talking about Timothy Chalamet there.
Correct. Yeah, I know. Listen, I lived out there for so long, and I have so many friends that are in the business, and I don't mind someone trying to stand out a little bit, but what is he doing? Like, he's one of the best actors of his time. He's dating a Kardashian. He could not have a higher profile. And he shows up looking like the character from...
Maybe he was just trying to get people to take away attention from his mustache.
Or lack thereof, yeah.
He has a pretty bad mustache.
It's a pretty bad mustache. I think he likes that, though. I think he wants that to be weird.
Yes.
What actor had his acceptance speech censored?
Kieran Culkin.
Oh, my gosh. 6 for 6, buddy. Chris Foran, ladies and gentlemen, just crushed our Oscars quiz.
It almost makes me feel better about the two. We had an office thing where I took part in, and I did the ABC one, and I was 14-9 and 10-13. So this is better. I'm doing better here.
All right. Well, we're here to help.
If you guess wrong on a couple things, suddenly you're in a, you know.
We got to do a real quick break. Can we keep you for a few minutes, Chris?
Sure.
All right. We'll be coming right back after the news. More with Chris Foran on Nightlight.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
How are the Trump policies going to affect agriculture? We'll find out with Zachiel Torres-Small, who was the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture in the Biden administration.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Carrigan Brothers Winery created and sold their first bottle of wine in 2000. with a creative sense of taste, composing traditional and modern wines, experimenting with flavors like lemon and cherry. Today, bringing flavor to names like Green Leprechaun and Muddled Old Fashioned. Carrigan Brothers Winery. Taste and enjoy the flavor of something special. And be sure to check out their amazing gift shop. Highway 55 in Freedom, Wisconsin. CarriganBrothers.com. Life doesn't get any better than this.
Hey, it's Amanda with another new WISCO 411. And the diverse and resilient Appleton Room to Be Safe is hosting a monthly drop-in night for LGBTQ plus adults, which will have social connection.
This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Senate Democrats appear united against the budget plan approved by House Republicans. They're pushing for a one-month extension of government funding, saying the GOP bill gives in too much to President Trump's demands. Hours after tariffs and retaliatory tariffs kicked in, Secretary of State Marco Rubio is meeting with his counterparts from Canada and the EU at a summit in Canada. As the Department of Education layoffs continue, former Education Secretary John King Jr. says students will be hurt.
The truth is that 90% of the decisions that are made about K-12 education are made at the state and local level. The role of the department historically has been to protect civil rights, to make sure that students with disabilities aren't discriminated against, to make sure that students aren't discriminated against based on race or gender.
He says improvement in the department is needed, but not the way it's being done. The EPA is looking to roll back dozens of environmental regulations, including rules limiting vehicle emissions and air pollution. This is ABC News.